Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine, because we are starting. Shannon, welcome to the Live Free Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here. I am pumped just to see your face again and catch up on where your business has gone in this last, gosh, what, year now? Has it been a year?
Yep, a year this month.
Oh my goodness. So this is just a perfect kind of catch up place. But then I'm also really excited because I think you have we all have a powerful story, but I think you have a really powerful story to kind of just share what led you to freelancing and, you know, your experience getting started. And I'm excited to kind of dive in and just revisit.
Sounds good. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So to start, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you first heard about freelancing and maybe, you know, what you were doing prior to freelancing.
Sure. So my name is Shannon Pigeon, and I'm currently working as a Pinterest strategist in the freelancing world. I started out in school for teaching, and I did the whole sub route. I actually had my own kindergarten classroom, but that was back when teaching jobs were really difficult to find. And I ended up in a Catholic school, which, as you know, pays pennies. So then I had been offered a job actually at a place where I had been employed as a student at a state university. So I couldn't pass up the state benefits and everything. So I left there to do more of a traditional 9-to-5 office job. But yeah, I was looking for a change. I had some big things happen in my life, and I think I was on Facebook or something. And I was looking for different options. It was during COVID also. Mm-hmm. So wasn't really going to feel comfortable going into a new setting, not knowing like what their policies were going to be and everything. And so I think I saw an ad. And so I'm definitely a researcher. So I Googled the heck out of you. And
did you find my hidden skeletons?
Oh, no, there were none. That was the thing. So I remember, you know, is overwhelmed, overbooked, legit, like searching all those things, you know, looking for reviews. And I did the free course. Then I bought the Get Legit and Quit. And then I was like, I think like this is an actual, because there's so many things that just appear to be scams out there. And so
absolutely.
I remember talking to my husband and I was like, I think that this is a good option. I think that this is, you know, the good direction, because it was an investment, but it was well worth the investment. I got started in September of 2020 and I ended up, I didn't land my first client right away. It took a few months, but I just had it in my head. Like there was no other option. Yeah. This was it. And I was going to work as hard as I could. And here I am today.
Yeah. We're going to dive into more of kind of like, you know, I have some questions about what it was like getting started and all of that. But I'm curious if you would be comfortable sharing some of, you know, what some of those big things that led to you seeking another way. Because I know you face some discrimination for breastfeeding and for your pregnancy in the workplace. And I think that's something that probably happens more than is talked about. And
yeah, absolutely.
If you're open to sharing kind of what happened.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it because like you said, I don't feel like it's something that's talked about enough. And I think it happens a lot more frequently than people realize.
Or women might not even realize like, oh, this is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happened?
So So this was in the job that I had left after teaching. And like I said, it was a place I had worked at for like 7 years before, left mm-hmm. to do teaching. And when a full-time position opened up, they told me about it. Mm-hmm. They brought me back. It's a large public university. And so you would think that would be a place where something like this wouldn't happen, but unfortunately it did. Right before I found out I was pregnant, I had gotten married. Everything was fine. I was well-liked, had wonderful reviews all the time. I was very hardworking. I handled a lot of important things. One of the biggest was people's pay. Mm-hmm. And so I took my job very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But so right before I found out I was pregnant, I got a new supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And I, didn't really know her that well, but whatever, just new boss trying to be nice. And when I told her I was pregnant, I think the first red flag, I was excited. These are people I had known since I was 18.
Yeah.
And I remember I came in, I had my sonogram picture. I was so excited. So it's 12 weeks. And I showed her. And one of the first things she said to me was, "Well, I hope I don't have to call you while you're out." And I was just like, I just remember immediately like a red flag went off. And I was just like, okay, that's an interesting response. Okay.
Yeah.
But so I went through my entire pregnancy, got very stressed out because, like I said, my job was important and there was no real plan in place for when I was gonna leave. Mm-hmm. So I was the only person who knew how to do my job. And to me, being the type of person I am, I was concerned about what's gonna happen, what is gonna happen with their pay. It was very complicated what I did. And it ended up being, there were a lot of other comments made. Like I remember she had a vacation. I was due, I think it was June 1st. And she had a vacation planned beginning of June. And she told me she was worried that she hoped I would go late because she was worried about it interfering with her vacation. And I was like, she would say these things. And I'm just thinking in my head, okay, should I cross my legs and hope that, I don't I'll try and
that is so inappropriate.
Right. And so it was a lot of things like that, things kind of said and but said in a way where it was haha, it's a joke, but the underlying tone of it. And it made me uncomfortable. And I ended up, I was getting so stressed out with that. And then just not knowing what's going to happen, that I started to have some health issues and my doctor wanted to pull me out sooner, but I just said, I want to have as much time as I can with my baby. I don't want to use that time now.
Yeah.
But I did end up going out a little bit early because it got to be too much. And I had my son, I think it was 6 days later.
Yeah.
So then I went out on my leave and I just tried to not think about what was going to happen when I got back. But when I did come back, so in our state, I live in New York State. Mm-hmm. We have paid family leave in addition to family medical leave. So you're able to use that time after the initial 12 weeks. So I chose to use it. I think at the time it was 10 weeks. I think it's now up to 12, but I chose to use it intermittently. So I worked 3 days a week for the first 2 months I came back. And then 4 days a week. So I wanted to kind of ease into it.
Yeah.
And so when I came back, the expectations were just unrealistic. I mean, basically I was told I needed to make up, 3 months of work and do my regular job. And it was just, it felt like I was being piled on mm-hmm. to try to make things more difficult for me.
Yeah.
So there was that component. And then the first day back, I walked in the door and I sat at my desk. And of course, that first day back, it's so my son was with my mom. So at least I had that. But of course, I left and I cried all the way to work. And
yeah,
one of the first things she said to me was, "I hope you're ready to hit the ground running. And did you cry this morning?" And I was just and it was said not as a mom to mom,
Concern.
Yeah.
Genuinely caring, wanting to know how you're doing, because anyone who's a mom knows that day. And I'm getting emotional now just hearing this, going back to my first day back when I went back with McLaren, it's a rough day.
Yeah. It's hard for anybody, no matter where your child is.
Yeah.
And then she had talked. And so when I went out, there was another nursing mom who was using this room next to my office to pump. And so I just assumed that's where I would go. And so she had asked me, oh, so are you going to need a room to pump in? And I said, yeah, I just figured I'd use the room that girl used. Well, you can't use it anymore because they had moved some things around. I felt like it was more intentional to make things more difficult for me. So, and she's like, I didn't know that. So what we're going to have to do is you're going to have to use my office. So every time I had to pump, which then was like 3 times a day, I had to get my bags. Now, and the other thing too is my department was very predominantly male. Mm-hmm. So I would be carrying all my things, have to knock on the door, say I needed to use the room. And the first time I asked, she said, I have to do something with my phone. Can you wait like 5 or 10 minutes? And I said, no, I can't. I said, if you want, I can just use that room down the hall. And she told me, no, I wasn't allowed to. So yeah. So I kept using that room and I knew, I'm like, this is going to get old eventually. Cause she's already irritated with me that I'm needing this. So then it was maybe like 3 or 4 weeks later, she pointed out that I should be using this other room. And a few of my coworkers knew what I was like dealing with because I am very much that like happy, lucky person. And like, even though like I was going through a lot, I'm very good at like covering things up and just smiling and all, you know, like they don't need to know like everything that's going on with me. And this room she wanted to use was not appropriate at all. And I looked at it. I came back. I told her. And actually, when I went back there, there was a male coworker whose office was right next to it. And when I was looking at it, he said, what are you doing back here? And I said, you know, she wants me to look here. And he goes, you should be able to use the room that the other girl used. And so I ended up going back and telling her it didn't work. Well, she walked back with me and they actually got into a verbal altercation about it. And then
the male coat, like standing up for you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I want to give him a hug.
Yeah, exactly. And then suddenly I was allowed to use that other room. But, you know, she had made a comment about like, I was so happy that I had made a point of learning what all my rights were, my federal mm-hmm. rights and my state rights, because she had said to me, well, you just need a chair, right? And I was like, no, by law, these are the things that I'm required, like I am entitled to have. And because of that, like, I think that that definitely helped. But then shortly after that, I had had a review, which was once again, great review, but she, in terms of like my assessment, but it went really long and she got argumentative in it. And it was just a whole thing, but it had lasted past the time when I needed to pump. And my Fitbit alarm was going off that I needed to pump. And she said, do you have any more questions? I said, no, like I have to go pump now. And she said to me, oh yeah. And you're wearing a thin shirt. So, and like, once again, it was just one of those comments where it wasn't like mom to mom relating. It was, and it was killing me because I had like a 3-layer shirt on because it was one of those nursing shirts that had like all the layers. So it was a lot of things like that. Then COVID hit and a lot more stress was put on me. They made me come back one day a week at one point, even though I had a doctor's note not to. I was questioned as to why I was still using that room. And
all by just her?
Well, that time it was her, but it was that she had gotten a phone call because somebody else wanted to know why I was using the room. And it's like, same reason I've been using it for the last year. Like, it's not like my situation hasn't changed. And then I had had a review, another great review where I was marked very high. And so in the position that I was in, it works like a professor where you have to get tenure. And she had emailed me saying, you know, here's your evaluation, look it over, and we're going to meet about tomorrow. And it was weird because it was July and my reviews were in February. And I was like, well, that's weird. It's like, I look through it and I'm marked high for everything, meets expectations or higher. And I get to the bottom and they have the option. So every year I had to be renewed until I was tenured and non-renewal was checked. And I was like, wait, what? And so we had the meeting. And she would not give me a reason as to why my position wasn't being renewed.
And so essentially that means being like let go,
yeah,
terminated.
And It obviously wasn't for financial reasons, because shortly after I left, they were able to put somebody right in my place at a bit of a higher rate of pay. Obviously, it wasn't based off of my performance, because I had all amazing reviews. And, you know, it leads you to believe there was the one reason. And that really hurt, because it was a I would have never imagined this happening. I mean, that was a place that I had been at for so long. And it was just, like, I still can't believe it to this day. But I had to then, the way my contract worked was, luckily, it wasn't like that happened and you lost your job immediately. It was, they had to keep me until, I think it was for 1 year. So in that 1 year, you know, you're not going to have a job after, like, yay, it's great, I got my job, but you're not going to have a job after this year.
Such a bizarre policy.
Yeah. So at that point, like, I had already been looking, because I knew when I came back, like, it was a bad situation and I wanted to get out. But this was really what, you know, pushed me. And then I had bought the course. And
were you still working when you purchased the course and started your freelance business? Yes.
Yeah. So when I started my business, I was working, and I still work, like, before my son wakes up. Mm-hmm. And back then it would be, you know, after work evenings and then weekends I worked. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then the last straw was right around Thanksgiving. The numbers for COVID were going up again. Mm-hmm. And I was told I was going to need to report to work 2 days a week, 1 week, and 3 days a week the following week, rotating, so that I could copy some files that had been sitting in a closet for 30 years. And I was just like, and so having known my rights and researched, you know, all the different options out there, I knew that there was emergency FMLA for childcare. And my parents watched my son. I didn't feel comfortable going into a place where there was high, you know, I had could contract it and then give it to my parents. So I contacted HR. I went out on EMFLA and figured out my time. And I was debating going back or not. And my husband just said, it's to a point where it's impacting your health.
Yeah.
I think I ended up working like 1 day, and it was basically to, like, return my stuff. And then I was done. And I had one client at that point. So it was, it was a little scary, but
it was, a huge, like, leaping on a prayer here.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other things that happen, but, like, it's hard. It's still, like, it was, almost a year ago. And it's like, I'm still processing it. I'm still dealing with it. It had, I think the toll it had on me, I don't think I even fully realized until I was out of the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said before, I'm very, like, happy-go-lucky, and I just became a shadow of the person I was with all of that going on.
Well, because you add on, like, the normal changes and hormones and everything you're experiencing as a first-time brand-new mom. Like, you don't need, no one needs these unnecessary stresses put on them because someone else has issues.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, I had panic attacks. Like, I remember just, you know, I remember vividly just not being able to breathe, thinking about having to go to work the next day. And my husband had, like, thank God for my husband. He's amazing and supportive, but, like, him having to hold me just to be like, it's going to be okay. And I have migraines already, and they just, like, skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Anxiety. I mean, I would wake up in the morning and get physically ill. Mm. And even when I was working remotely, like, because I was going to have to log into a computer and interact with her. And it's like, that is just it's not a way to live. No. Nobody should ever feel that way. I mean, for what? For doing something that, for giving birth, for breastfeeding, like, for having my child. Like, and that's, you know, it sucks that all happened to me, but I really, like, I've been wanting to, you know, get more public about my story, just because there were a couple stories I read when I was going through it, and they were what really helped me. Just hearing that, you know, you're not, because you feel very isolated when it's happening. You feel very alone. And, like, my husband, we were talking about it even last night, and he said, like, you know, I could be as supportive as I possibly could be. He goes, but at the end of the day, he's like, I don't know what you're going through. Like, and he's like, and I could tell just looking in your eyes how alone you felt. And reading other people's stories, hearing about it, that was what gave me comfort.
Yeah.
And helped me make the decisions I made after.
Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
So did you take any action like with HR or legally, or I'm not sure like if that's even something that you can share?
Yeah, so like a lot of this stuff too is I think important for somebody who's going through this, or even if you're not going through it currently, if you're pregnant or looking to get pregnant, just to be aware of these things.
Yeah. Or because aware, like, because you might have a friend that shares this with you and like, how can you be a light for that friend who goes through this?
And like I said before, I would have never in 1,000 years thought that this is something that would happen to me at that place, that I trusted these people. I like basically grew up with a lot of them.
Yeah.
But as you know, like when I started seeing these red flags and these comments, I started making note of them.
Good. Documenting everything. Time.
Yep. And it's like, you know, at first it felt, you know, you're a mom, you're working, you're doing, and now you got to remember to write this stuff down.
Yeah.
One more thing. But I just remember thinking to myself, you know, maybe nothing happens of it, but at least I've done it. Like that's best case scenario. I did talk. So like when I got the notification of non-renewal, I had already talked to inside of the university, there's an internal like discrimination department. I had actually gone to them months before and told my whole story, but based off of what they told me was most likely what was going to happen, I felt like I was going to have a bigger target on my back by reporting them. So I held off.
So you went to them and said, this is happening. And they were like, okay, here's what you can do. And here's what's going to happen if you do that.
Yeah. And part of the problem was my department worked very closely with their department. So I think that they were a bit too close to like really look at things maybe objectively. Plus it's basically an internal investigation. It's a department you know, it's a large university and they're investigating themselves. Like, and so once I found out, like I was no longer going to have employment that day, I was like, all right, like I have nothing to lose at this point. I called them. I said, you know what? Start that investigation. I had written to my boss's boss, who I had known since I was 18, and said, can you just explain to me what's going on? Nope, we can't tell you. So the other step you can take is when you get the way my job worked was once you got that letter that said you weren't renewed, you were able to basically appeal it to the vice president of that department. So that was my boss's boss's boss. And at this point, I had sought legal counsel and I said, do I, you know, and I talked to my union and I said, do I just lay it out in there? And they said, yep, tell them exactly why you think. And I told this woman, I think this is based off of my pregnancy and breastfeeding. This is why, this is what I've experienced. And I never heard anything back except for my non-renewal was approved. So she just signed off on not renewing me. So I made them aware of it. And it just kept feeling like I was like continuously let down. The discrimination department did their investigation and found, I was told that because I would have been treated poorly had I gone out for any reason, be it vacation or whatever, because my supervisor would have treated me poorly then as well, this didn't rise to the level of discrimination. And I was like,
so they're just excusing and allowing and enabling her behavior.
Yep. When I came back, I had found out there was another employee who had broken his leg and they made accommodations for him. And I just said, so you're saying is if I broke my leg and went out, I would have had the same issues. And she said, yes. And I said, well, that's interesting. I said, because if I had broken my leg, I wouldn't have required a room to pump in. I said, there would have been no reason to be making comments about a thin shirt. Like that you can't, that's not a justification. So I did seek legal counsel and like, I can't like, you know, talk about a lot of that, but like, you know, those were the options. Like, and that's why too, like, I think it's so important when you're pregnant or before you even get pregnant to really go through and know what are the federal laws protecting you as a pregnant or nursing mother? What are the state laws? Because the state laws, like I live in New York State, and the nice thing about New York State is, so like, for example, federally, you have 12 months to pump, but New York State allows for 3. So you can pump for 3 years and that's the law. So because I knew these, I mean, like I'm not a lawyer, but you know, I just researched and there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of great groups that put information out there and organizations. I was able to, it empowered me at least when I was being told certain things to be like, no, that's not right. That's not, you're not correct. But yeah. And I realized I needed to be my own hero because it's like I said, I reported it to all these people. I went up through the chain and it was, nobody was going to help me. And so for me, no matter what happens with this, I've decided, you know, I want to get involved to make sure that other women hear my story and, you know what options are out there. And even if it's just you leave that job, if that's what's the best decision for you and your family, you do what's best for you and your family.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to, you know, just make sure that other women hear it and know that they're not alone and what they can do.
Did the like advice from your attorney and your legal counsel, has that been resolved or is that still ongoing?
They're still working things out. So yeah, so it's frustrating because it's like, although I've been away for a long time, like it's still lingering. But the other thing that I did want to bring up, which I think is so important, is when I had talked to the attorney before I had officially, you know, hired them and just explained my story, you know, she said, even if you don't go with me, even if you don't choose this route, I think it's really important for you to talk to a therapist. She said, because so many women do not understand the impact that it's had on them. And so I started seeing a therapist, and one person I met with, I didn't really mesh with. And now I've found somebody who has been amazing and has really just, it's been life-changing. It's great that, I mean, she'll say, you know, just the change she's seen in me. And, you know, it's, there's nothing wrong with getting help. Like there's not, and the mental part of all that that's happening when you're going through something like that is, it's like, I didn't even realize, like PTSD has been brought up. Like, I'll be working with clients now. And it's like, I have to remind myself that they're not her. Like there's still just lingering effects and anxiety that, I mean, and this is a year ago. And
I mean, like beyond just like your job and that, like she robbed some of your mental energy and emotional energy that should have gone towards your son. Exactly. At that time and towards and your, that, like yourself as a new mom, a new family at that time. And that's what makes me mad.
Yeah. That is, I've said, you know, no amount of money, no amount of anything can ever replace the fact that I feel like I was cheated time. I felt like, you know, that first pregnancy is so special. It's when you get pregnant with the next one, it's like, you don't have time to be thinking.
You don't get to enjoy anything.
No, you don't get to like, oh, I'm tired, I'm going to go take a nap now. Or like, oh, I think I felt it. Like you don't, like you're not even in that headspace. And it's, and I was so stressed out about everything. And then once he was born, it was like, I felt like I was failing as a mother. I felt like I was failing as wife. I felt like, I mean, I was there, but I wasn't mentally present. And I just feel like because of that, that is what hurts me the most, is that I feel like I was cheated on time, mm-hmm. and nothing can ever replace that.
Yeah. But I mean, I do wonder, with going the legal route and like seeking legal counsel, what is some of the benefit to taking that legal counsel? Is there some sort of like monetary compensation someone, you know, could potentially be entitled to? Is it just what is, you know, at the end of the legal counsel, like, I guess?
I think it depends on the person. It depends on what they're looking for. I mean, I can't talk specifically about like what I'm looking for, yeah. but like some of the options are, you know, monetary. I think a big part of it is just the fact that you're kind of putting them on notice. Like,
yeah,
this wasn't okay. And, you know, you took all these steps and it still wasn't made okay. So now I've had to go outside of, you know, the entity and I've had to seek help.
Mm-hmm.
There's also sometimes, like, depending, I believe, with like negotiations and whatnot, like they can put new rules in place. So mm-hmm. that maybe like the next person who comes along, maybe there's some, you know, there's different things that they can put in place. So then that way, hopefully the next person doesn't have to deal with it. So there's a lot of things, and it just depends on the person, I think, what they want to ask for. But
yeah. So is she still at the company? Do you know? Are you?
Yep.
She is.
Oh, she is.
Was there anyone else like in your, like your coworkers? I mean, do you have any insight as to like what they're thinking, or did they experience anything, or?
Well, part of the problem was I was younger within like the office staff. I was the youngest person. There was like another group of people who there were like the girl who had been pumping prior to me, but she was like kind of like a separate group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of people my age, but like, I didn't interact with them a ton.
Yeah.
So I was kind of on my own, but the coworkers I did, you know, that I did have, like, and I said, like, I was well-liked, I was respected. It was just, it seemed like for whatever reason, my supervisor took it as a vendetta against me with the pregnancy and everything, and, you know, got the higher above to agree to it. But once it was found out that like, the word started to spread through the department, I was actually nominated and got an honorable mention for employee of the quarter after I had been told that I wasn't going to have a job anymore for my hard work and dedication. And it was like, you know, they all wrote in, and it's like, I mean, that in and of itself just showed that, like,
wow,
it's just, yeah.
So you're not there anymore.
No, thank God. Yeah.
So you started your, let's kind of now shift to like freelancing and how that kind of came in and kind of where you're at now. So mm-hmm. you joined in September. Can you mm-hmm. kind of go back to getting started and landing that first client? Kind of share kind of that journey?
Yeah. So like I said, I started in September, and I worked early mornings and evenings. Just very difficult. But like I said, I had just decided like I didn't have another option. Like yeah. I was going to make this work. Like I invested the money, I'm going to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling discouraged because I was working my tail off. So mm-hmm. I made me think about it, and new mom, still working, dealing with all this discrimination.
Yeah.
And on top of it, trying to build a business, like I was burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And I will say, I think the thing I was, oh my goodness, the group, the course group,
mm-hmm.
it just like brought me a renewed sense in women and like, you know, just fellow mankind, that like you could go, I could go on there, and everybody was so supportive. And it's like coming from the environment I came from, you know, and I would deal with during the day, and then, you know, I'd log in and you know, be on, and it's just like, it was just so refreshing.
Yeah.
But so I, you know, would see any jobs in the job leads board that, you know, I thought it was a good fit for, I'd apply. I'd search through the groups every day. And I literally scheduled out my time so that when I was working on my business, I set up everything ahead so that I had my portfolio. I wanted everything done, and anything while I was searching for clients that I could do ahead of time, so that once I landed that client, I could just go. Mm-hmm. I made sure I had dedicated time set aside basically every day. And I just kept plugging away and kept plugging away and kept plugging away.
It just took a little bit longer for you. And I just remember you on every coaching call,
yes,
like faithfully every week. And you would ask a question or share. And I just remember your dedication. It's hard when it doesn't happen as fast as you want, but you showed up every week.
And as great as the group was, I mean, I'm having self-doubt because I'm looking and I'm seeing these people, you know, I've only been doing it this many months and I've landed my first client. Oh, I've got 2, 3, 4. And here I'm sitting there like, I've just had, you know, a couple discovery calls and they seem to have gone well and I haven't gotten anywhere. And so I actually had a discovery call and I had this woman, she was ready to go. It was a TPT seller. I was like, cool, that's in my wheelhouse. And she sent over the contract and I was like, just so hungry. I was so hungry for that first client. Mm-hmm. And I read the contract and I saw red flags. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I was like, this just does not seem right. And I remember, I think I had messaged you people in the group are like, that is a red flag.
It's so hard.
It is. Like,
it is so hard to turn down that first or even those, any of the initial jobs or offers, you know, or positions when you're just wanting to get started and you're like, I will literally take anything.
Yeah.
When you see those red flags, it is so hard to acknowledge and like trust your gut that this is not it.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk away. Something else will come.
Yep.
Do you remember the timeline from like how long it was when you got that like first offer with the red flags?
That would have been December.
Okay. So
yeah, like 3 months.
So 3 months in.
Yeah. And I remember I sent the email back basically saying I didn't think it was a good fit and I was like crushed. And I don't even know what made me check my email like 20 minutes later. But I got this novel from, I'm like getting teary-eyed.
Yeah.
I call her my unicorn client. She's honestly like my best friend now.
Oh.
But I had applied to just a real small job in like the TPTVA space and had said, you know, I was just figuring it was experience. Maybe I'd make a connection. And she responded with a novel just saying, you know, I'm looking at what you wrote and I think that I've been looking to hire a VA and I think that you would be a really good fit, not for this job, but like my main VA, like I'm at that point, I need to hire somebody. And I responded yes. And it was life-changing. Her and I are two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that's not the norm, but
and so like, that was like 20 minutes after you sent that walk away email.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And I mean, it's been great. I've gotten, you know, referrals from her. We have kids born 3 days apart.
Mm.
My son's Finnegan and her son's Finley. Like it was just weird similarities. And we're actually in the process of working on building a course together for TPT sellers and contractors. So like it's in the very like baby stages, but I mean, literally from saying no to 20 minutes later, like meeting this person and connecting with them and getting this first client has really changed my life. And then from there, I started with her in January. I got, I think, one or two clients in January, another one in February. And within like 2 months, I was overbooked and I had to cut back. So
and it can go slow. It can be slow. Sometimes it can feel so painstakingly. And I hope so many people listen to this episode and I hope what they take away is that things can change in an instant. It can change so fast. And
I always say too, like you look at people, you see these names in the group and like you start recognizing them when you're in there like, oh, this person's pretty successful. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you like put my name in there.
Yep.
Search each person's name. And I guarantee you will see every one of our comments. This isn't working. I don't know if I'm gonna, you know, I'm feeling discouraged. And then eventually like I landed that first client. Like I'm doing so well.
My
like,
second, my third. Oh my gosh, guys. Yes. That is so cool that you can go back and search that, because so many people, I see that.
Yeah.
And there's so many people I can think of, like, of their, I'm discouraged. This is never going to happen for me. Yeah. And then to be able to go and like watch the timeline with the Facebook comments, that's so cool.
It is. In that group too, like, I've made friends with women that like I talk to on a regular basis too. Like, yeah, we stay connected. So it's really, the course is obviously, you know, extremely valuable with setting up your business and getting everything started. But I really think the community is just something that is unique. And, you know, you can't really find that. I have not found a lot of places where it's just so positive and encouraging, and just everybody's willing to help each other. Like, you're technically in the same, you know, similar field.
Same industry. Yeah.
And people are still, hey, here, let me help you. Oh, you want to, you know, I have an example of this. Sure, I'll send it to you. Like, and it's just, it was so refreshing. It was amazing.
So how did you fall into Pinterest? How did that come about?
So I had a client who, she was referred to me by somebody I did testimonial work for. And she had asked if I did Pinterest, and I hadn't done it yet. And I said, well, yeah, I do Pinterest. I said, I'm new, but I do it. And I didn't say like brand new, but so, you know, quickly started learning, and I actually helped her account grow. And the thing I love about what I do is it's very for my lifestyle right now. It's very flexible. You know, I can create and schedule out content, and it's not so like rigid in terms of a schedule. So I enjoy that Pinterest is, I mean, say that it's the positive platform, but I mean, really, like, you go on Facebook and Instagram, and while they're great and they have their places, it's like, you go on Pinterest, you don't really get everybody's opinion, which is
you don't get all the right negative. Yeah, there's no news. There's no news on Pinterest. Yeah.
Yes.
All of our aspirations come from Pinterest.
Yeah. I started with that one client and really enjoyed what I did, and then started investing in courses and, you know, really honed my skills. And now that's, I still work for my first client doing more general VA work, but I also do her Pinterest, and then the rest of my clients, it's all Pinterest. So
Pinterest.
Yeah.
And have majority of your clients been from Facebook groups, referrals, OTO job leads? What's kind of the...
So most of my clients have been referrals, which I think is great, because I take that as it's a reflection of me and, you know, the kind of work I do and the kind of person I am. I had one job from the leads board. I did have a few from Facebook groups, but that was, referrals is probably the majority of where I've gotten my work from.
Awesome. Well, what does your business look like now, a year in? What goals do you kind of have for yourself over the next 6 months or year?
6 months, I'm going to have to figure some stuff out because I'm newly pregnant. So I'm in a place now where I'm comfortable. I think it's very, I've noticed in this industry, it's very easy to get caught up in the like rat race of it. Yeah. And you see this person's doing this thing and this person's doing this thing, and, you know, they're having 10K months and they're doing this, and that's all great. And I'm so happy for, you know, my friends and everybody who's doing really well, but, you know, really just remembering what your why is and what, you know, what does happiness mean to you in terms of, you know, that. And for me, it's, you know, making enough money to support my family for our needs, but also being able to spend time with my son and be home with him. And I'm not going to say it's not hard, because it is. Like, I'm, you know, working, then doing the mom thing, working during nap time, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, I can't imagine now at this point. It's crazy that something so terrible happened to me. I think for me to really, I don't know if I would have gone this route otherwise. Yeah. It kind of forced my hand, and I'm not happy that that happened to me, but I feel like I've really turned lemons into lemonade and, you know, have made a good change. So I think for me, for the next 6 months, is just, you know,
growing a human.
Grow a human, remember my why, and, you know, just continue to, you know, have the success that I'm having now. And then you know, eventually I think once my kids are older and in school, like then I'll probably focus more on growing and getting bigger. But for right now, just making sure that my family's needs are met, that's what's most important to me.
Yeah. That's awesome. So are you, do you use any form of like childcare or daycare or like babysitting to manage work and kind of be the primary caregiver for your son? Or are you kind of doing the full-time naptime hustle?
It's pretty much the naptime hustle, although my parents usually will come and I'll probably drop my son off at their house like once a day or once a day, once a week.
Once a day. Like, I want those parents.
They're really helpful. And my in-laws and my husband's aunt and uncle actually just moved into town recently. So I think that they might help out a little bit, but I mainly do the naptime hustle. And then I just count on that like once a week, I'll have, you know, extra time where I can really buckle down. And honestly, sometimes, you know, I use that time to just do the other mom things that you can't do when you have, you know, a little like the running around and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, even that's helpful. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Shannon, congratulations on everything. You've been amazing to have in the group and just amazing to watch. And I'm so, so thankful that you were willing to kind of, you know, open up and share your story on the podcast today. So I thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.